Talking today with Tanner Beamer with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association's D.C. office. And Tanner, you've moved into this role of looking at really all things marketing within the cattle industry. Obviously, there's a whole world of things going on with the price discovery conversation. But one of the things that you followed and have devoured, I guess, basically, you've looked very closely at this report out this last week from USDA on the price spreads between box beef and live cattle. What jumped out at you with that report?
You know, I think the report kind of went into more detail about some of the things we already knew. We knew that in the immediate aftermath of the Tyson fire, that the box beef spread had risen to what at the time was, you know, historic levels since they started keeping track of that. We didn't know at the time that that would be eclipsed by such a high magnitude with COVID-19 and those impacts. But I think that what we saw in that report from an economic standpoint is what was expected out of USDA. Mm-hmm. We did not see any insights into whether there were violations of packers and stockyards, and there was no mention of the ongoing DOJ investigation either. But we also looked at some of those policy recommendations that were made by USDA and have been kind of digesting those, and some of that will be discussed in the live cattle marketing committee tomorrow by those producers that came to Denver to discuss those issues. And then we also have already been working on some of those recommendations that were made. So there really is a full suite of things to consider, and I think that there will be some robust discussion about that tomorrow.
Let's talk a little bit about what is in that USDA report. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that there's some things that the industry's already been in the process of trying to address.
Absolutely. So one of the things that the report identified was providing resources to small and very small meat processors, whether they're custom exempt or they're state inspected or they do have federal inspectors on site. And so one of the things that we have been looking at when we were seeing, you know, these plants go down in the aftermath of COVID-19 for temporary closures or line speed reductions, we started to ask ourselves, how can we start to, you know, help in this processing capacity issue? Mm-hmm. And so we started working with our allies on Capitol Hill on a piece of legislation called the Ramp Up Act, and that would basically provide some federal assistance to any state or custom exempt processing facility that would like to become federally inspected, and that will help offset some of the costs associated with that fairly lengthy process. It's been introduced in the House. Chairman Peterson is actually the lead over there, and we expect introduction in the Senate here very shortly. Another thing as well that the report identified was some education tools for cattle producers about some of the risk management options that exist out there. Congressman Dusty Johnson from South Dakota has introduced legislation to provide some resources that would help those producers learn about all of the opportunities that exist, whether it's through farm bill programs, whether it's through the futures market, just any of those tools that can help them, you know, manage some of that risk that's just inherent in the cattle business but has really come to light in the aftermath of these two major black swan events.
Seems that that was one of the real keys of that USDA report. They talked about the need for education, mm-hmm. to be able to use all the tools that are out there now to try to mitigate these type of losses that we saw for people that were unprotected.
That's right, and I think that that's going to be that's going to need to be a full featured conversation. You know, what can we as NCBA do to aid in that process? What can USDA do to aid in that process? And how can members of Congress assist in that effort as well to communicate that back to their constituencies? And I think that that will be a very important component of this discussion as we move forward from here.
Now, leading up, you know, you can't obviously outguess what's going to happen in this committee meeting coming up, but the whole conversation about price discovery is not new to the industry.
Yeah, that is correct. I mean, price discovery is an issue that is constantly talked about, but I think that we were really, really it was brought back to the forefront in the aftermath of these two major black swan events, trying to get a feel for that spread between the box beef price and the fed cattle prices. You know, in the aftermath of the Tyson fire, that at its apex was $67.17 a hundred, and then in the aftermath of COVID-19, it was $279. And if you're a statistics nerd, like I can be from time to time, the box beef cutout value actually made a jump of 20 standard deviations, which is unheard of. And so that really spurred a lot of this discussion about price discovery. out of San Antonio, our convention, the Live Cattle Marketing Committee put together a working group of producer members to explore price discovery issues. We used a lot of the research that was conducted by Dr. Stephen Koontz out of Colorado State University and try and figure out how we can increase the price discovery in this country. And for the last several months, that working group has been meeting on a weekly basis and having some robust conversations. And you'll see a full-featured report of what they've been working on in tomorrow's committee meeting as well.
You know, end of the day, it's about the balance of price discovery versus making sure that we don't damage these, I guess we're going to call alternative marketing
arrangements.
In other words, value added, the things that, for example, that make the certified Angus beef programs and programs like that so successful. You don't want to harm them.
That's correct. You know, I think the question really is, you know, how can we increase negotiated trade in a way that works for everybody? And I think we've identified some ideas that the working group has come up with, and they'll present that to the full committee tomorrow. And, you know, whatever policies are enacted as a result of that, you know, NCBA is going to be ready to hit the ground running when we get back to Washington, D.C. next week. We're going into an August recess, which will give us a little bit of time to regroup, and we will hit Capitol Hill very hard once we come out of Denver with a unified position on these issues. But, yeah, that is definitely been the highlight of the discussion this week has been centered around price discovery and that question of where do we go from here.
Well, one last question as far as it relates to the Ramp Up Act, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, how realistic is it that we might be able to get something like that actually enacted between now and, you know, I guess the end of the year when we actually would end this session of Congress?
Sure. Well, you know, I wish I had that crystal ball. If I did, I could probably be making a lot more money in Washington, D.C. But I tell you one thing, you know, I will say, you know, without making predictions as to whether or not we can get some of this over the finish line before the end of the 116th Congress at the beginning of next year, I will say that the appetite on Capitol Hill is very strong to do something to help cattle producers. Any of these rural members of Congress or senators, they are hearing from producers back at home, and they are hearing firsthand how difficult that this marketing environment has been for the past several months, and realistically for some folks in the past several years. And so there is a strong desire to get something done to help these folks. Whether or not we can get that done by the end of this year and in what form that takes, I can't say at this time, but I can tell you that the appetite is very strong, and that's very encouraging from my perspective as a representative of these folks in Washington.